The Bush administration's Cuba policy contained little that was new, but Cuba responded with indignation. On Cuban national television last night, leaders spoke of ongoing U.S. aggression. The Cuban people seemed little interested in what President Bush had to say, if they caught his speech at all. NPR's Jerry Haddon reports from Havana.
Reiterating long-held policy, President George Bush said he would discuss with Congress ending the economic embargo and travel ban on Cuba under specific conditions, that Cuba hold free and fair elections and grant economic and civil freedoms to its people. Later, on Cuba's daily roundtable political program, reporters from state-run media labeled Bush's new policy recycled nonsense. Journalist Rogelio Polanco works in Cuban TV and radio.
Una política acabada.
It's a finished, obsolete policy, and it can hardly be for a new Cuba, because the Cuba to which Bush was supposedly referring doesn't exist to begin with. It's a virtual Cuba, present only in the fevered minds of the imperialists and those worms from Miami.
The reporters were referring to anti-Castro Cuban Americans, whom they've long said control U.S. policy toward Cuba via their political clout in Florida. On the streets of Havana, Cubans long accustomed to the political tension took Bush's speech in stride. Shuffling along the capital's famous seaside wall, El Malecón, 55-year-old Armando González carried swim fins and a makeshift inner tube raft on his head en route to his favorite fishing spot. Politicians will come and go, he said, but the sea always provides him fish.
No me asusta el bloqueo.
The blockade doesn't scare me. It's been around for 40 years, and we're still alive. I'm not worried about it. I feel good here in Cuba, and here I'll continue to live.
Most of Cuba's 11 million people didn't see Bush's speech, as it was not carried on state television. But leading dissidents watched it on cable. Afterwards, they said they were disappointed by Bush's plan to maintain the embargo. Just days ago, they were heartened by former President Jimmy Carter's visit here and his call to end Cuba's economic isolation. Activist Héctor Palacios.
What the Cuban dissident movement needs is more space, which both the United States and principally Cuba should give us. We have to ask for this space, and I don't believe the blockade and the embargo are going to relieve the situation.
Palacios and others argue the embargo traps the Cuban people in misery and gives Castro a scapegoat for his own failed policies. The activists did say they were pleased by Bush's offer to resume mail service between the two nations and his mention of the Varela Project, a signature campaign seeking democratic reforms. In his speech, Bush said he'd boost direct humanitarian aid to religious groups and nonprofits on the island to spark political transformation via civil society. But early in his administration, Bush made a similar proposal, slating tens of millions of dollars for Cuban democracy projects. It was dismissed by the Cuban government and by most dissidents, who don't want to be seen as pawns of U.S. foreign policy. New in Bush's policy is financial aid for families of Cuba's political prisoners and for Cubans who wish to study in the United States. But by and large, students in Havana reacted skeptically to that idea. One 19-year-old economics freshman would give her name only as Linda.
It's all a political game between the two countries, just like the relationship we've had that's lasted for so many years now. It's always the same. We have no hope for change, or at least I don't.
Bush's speech, given on the 100th anniversary of Cuban independence from Spain, was meant to carry symbolic weight. But the symbolism worked in both directions. The Cuban government considers 1902 the year in which their island became a U.S. vassal. Real freedom, goes the official line here, only came in 1959 with Fidel Castro's socialist revolution. Jerry Haddon, NPR News, Havana.